Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. How are you doing? How are you living? I hope you're all doing well wherever you are listening to the podcast or listening to the podcast, because we are on Spotify now as a video based podcast going out 2024 onwards. So enjoy looking at my face while I interview rock and metal bands from around the world. This episode is with the excellent South of Salem. I sat down with Joey and Cody of South of Salem to talk all about their brand new record, Death of the Party, which is out on the 19th of January. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it is an absolute firecracker of a record. I've not stopped listening to it since I got sent it a couple of weeks ago. I'm recording this intro, this very podcast, in November, so it's a bit of a strange one. I've still got decorations up because Christmas hasn't happened yet, but you know, alas, we move forward. I want to do a massive shout out to the lovely folks over at Hold Tight for organizing this interview, and of course I want to do a massive shout out to the band for coming on. It's a great interview. I really hope you enjoy it. If you want to help support the show, you can by sharing our stuff on social media. We are Nevermind Polly Podcast everywhere. And also, we do have a Patreon page, patreon.com/Nevermind Polly Podcast. We are going to be doing some more stuff on there, I hope. But if we don't, I don't hold me to that. But what I will say is it does help the show. It's like $2 a month, and it just helps keep the podcast running and keep things going. But if you don't want to do that, can't do that, that's absolutely fine. Just go and tell like five of your friends about the podcast. It means more than you know. And without any further waffle and chat from me, listen to my conversation or watch my conversation with the excellent boys in South of Salem. We shall see you on the other side. Peace and love. Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt. I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And welcome to 2024. It is January as you're listening to this. We're recording this in November. If you're watching this on YouTube, it's going to make no sense because I've still got Christmas decorations up. But that being said, we are in November when we're recording this. I am sat down with the awesome South of Salem. I have got Cody and I've got Joey on the line. How are you both doing? How's things?
Really good, man. Thank you very much for having
me. Sick. Thank you. I like your cat.
Has he already made an appearance? He's such a little attention. So-and-so. I was going to use it to draw to your turn. Then I'm not going to. But yeah, he loves using that cat. He's a right pain. But yeah, he's going to come and go throughout the podcast.
I think mine will make an appearance pretty soon. I don't know.
Yeah, really. Mine probably will as well.
Pets, the staple of every podcast, it seems. So I wanted to, obviously, we're here to talk about your brand new record, which is out on the 19th of January, called Death of the Party. I wanted to ask, as we sat here in November 2023, how you're both feeling ahead of the release and things. What's the mood like in camp? How are you all feeling about it?
Just can't wait to get it out, really. Like, can't wait to share it with people. The singles have been received so well already, and we still got more to come. So, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, but yeah, kind of nervous at the same time. I think there's like a bit of like, you've convinced yourself it's really good, and then you've gone and recorded it and it sounds amazing, and now you're like, God, I hope everybody actually likes this, because like
for sure if you can take a one man's opinion that is mine on this podcast, it is a great fucking record, right? Yeah. I will say that straight off the bat. And when I got sent the initial kind of press email about you guys releasing the single and things, I literally pretty much put down everything I was doing at that moment. I was like, right, okay, get straight on it. Like, because South of Salem as a band, I've followed for a long time, and your career trajectory thus far has been nothing short, in my opinion at least, of kind of astronomical, because you've kind of been this really, really good, consistent rock band, and now you've kind of like absolutely shot for the stars, and it's fucking wicked. So I want to get into all of that, but yeah, I just kind of wanted to start by saying that Death of the Party is out, will be out very, very soon, or it's out now as people listen to this, and it's very, very good, so they should check it out. That is first and foremost. Yeah, so I wanted to take things right back to the very beginning, right? Because I think it's really interesting to see where bands kind of where the musicians and the bands, they come from, right? So I wanted to ask you both, where does your love for music begin? What kind of got you first hooked on music? Do you remember at a time? Was it a place? Was it a family member? And who are kind of inspired that bubbling creativity and love for music?
For me, like my dad was always like kind of a musician. He was like played guitar and kind of, we used to sing together when I was a kid. But it wasn't, I didn't really want to be in a band anytime I was doing that. I just kind of enjoyed music in general. And then I listened to You Could Be Mine by Guns N' Roses. Like, I was quite late to the party with rock music. I was kind of brought up with only a couple of genres. So I heard that for the first time. My friend showed it to me and I was just like, wow, this is amazing. I want to do that. And that was basically how it all started for me.
Nice. How about you, Cody?
I can pinpoint the exact moment where I like decided, right, that's what I want to do, and that's the kind of music I want to listen to. You know, in Back to the Future, where he sings Chuck Berry.
I'll tell you a confession. I've never seen Back to the Future.
What?
Joey just looks like I've just kicked his cat. That's the reaction.
You should watch it. If you enjoy movies, you should just check it out and really enjoy it. I wish I could watch it for the first time.
That's the point. Yeah.
You should check it out. But anyway, there is a spoiler alert. There's a bit in Back to the Future, a film that came out in the 80s, about he goes back further in time to like before Chuck Berry, mm-hmm. and plays a load of Chuck Berry for a load of people in the 50s or whatever it is. And he plays Johnny Be Good, a song
Yeah, exactly.
So he plays that, and that's the first time I ever like reheard rock music. I would have been like a tiny little kid, and like I was hooked, and I wanted guitar lessons, I wanted a guitar, and all that stuff. So yeah, thanks, Marty McFly.
Absolutely, I love that, and that's the thing as well. It's such a really cool thing because you can kind of get these inspirations and things and music genres and music bands from different things that aren't predominantly music, right? So I'm assuming you guys are around kind of my age group, but like growing up as a teenager, I played like a lot of PlayStation, things like that, right? So I specifically remember things like the Need for Speed Underground 2 soundtrack being fucking wicked. Because it had Nobody by Skindred on there, they had Killing Joke on there, like Rise Against, like all these just fucking wicked bands that I was kind of not really established with. And I was like, who the fuck is this? But like, do you know what I mean? And it sends you down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, so it's all the Tony Hawk stuff as well. I remember all like the skateboarding games. They had like the best soundtrack.
And the one that really sticks out for me was the Jim Carrey film, Ace Ventura with Cannibal Corpse, which... I don't know how they got that gig, but it's one of the coolest things in
the best cameo. It's such a good cameo.
And I can just imagine loads of people watching that film and not having a clue what, you know, metal is, let alone like Cannibal Corpse. So yeah, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, in at the deep end of Cannibal Corpse, isn't it?
Absolutely. So these kind of questions I'm using in 2024 to get to know my guests, right? So I'd like to know, who is the best live band you've ever seen in your opinion, and who is the most disappointing band you've ever seen live?
Oh god, that is tough. I think for me, my best live show was probably like Alice Cooper. I think like just like for all that theatrics and stuff, like maybe not so much like the music. It was just that whole show as a whole thing was just amazing. It just blew me away, and I love that kind of thing. I love the theatrical side of stuff.
It's almost like a musical, isn't it? Like in that kind of theater, kind of in that kind of grandiosity of it. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, I've never seen a show that I wasn't like, I mean, it's not like I wasn't blown away with it. I think I saw like one of the kind of indie rock bands. And like their show was okay. The songs everybody knew. They were kind of radio friendly. I don't know if it was like the Kooks or the Zootons or something like that thing. And the show was good. But the only thing was like the singer didn't speak at all. Like it was like there was no thank you. There was no like little story between songs. It was nothing. It was just like we played the songs and then we were off. And it was like, oh, that was a bit disappointing kind of thing. But I was working that gig. I wasn't actually attending. So I didn't pay. So I can't really complain that much.
So I kind of have a similar thing with that. So I saw, this would have been 2017. I saw Green Day and I saw Blink-182 in the same like space of like 3 or 4 days, right? And what a drastic contrast in bands, because Blink played the same amount of songs as Green Day, but Blink were on half the stage time of Green Day, right? Now, that's not throwing either band under the bus, but it was kind of like, it just made me realize that Green Day do a lot of chatting and a lot of fucking lot of dicking around. And it was kind of And that was kind of for me, like I grew up on Green Day. They were like one of my gateway bands. It was kind of like, they're really good at like songwriters and performers, but God almighty, I'm sick of just Billy Joe Armstrong going, eh, or like.
Yeah, it definitely can go the wrong way. Yeah, it can definitely go the other way, way too far.
Absolutely. Cody, how about you? Best live band and most disappointing if you can.
The best live band I've ever seen is probably Every Time I Die. I've seen them a bunch of times. I saw them like on nearly every UK tour that they did. They're one of my favorite bands, and they always kill it live. Like they're just, and I'm heartbroken they've broken up, but that's by the by. But yeah, no, they were an amazing live band. Worst, I don't know. I'll tell you who sucked. Right? I went to go and see Action Bronson, so the rapper. Yeah. And he sold out Brixton Academy, and his performance was great, but literally it was just him and a DJ on a stage, and there was just nothing going on. There wasn't a light show, there wasn't anything, and I thought, you sold out Brixton Academy, do something, like have a stage show. But I guess you don't need one, save a lot of money there, all in the back pocket. But I wasn't impressed with that. Yeah.
For sure, for sure. And as I kind of alluded to at the start of the podcast, 2023, as we record this conversation, has been a hell of a year for the band, and the band's profile has kind of raised astronomically. What's it like being kind of in the band, in the eye of the storm, as I've put in my notes? What is that kind of like? Because I don't know if you think differently or whatever, but I kind of put it down to seeing online, at least, the Stone Dead festival appearance was when it really, and we've got some, if I can remember to get them on my phone, I've got some questions from those guys who attended and saw you guys, because that was kind of just like, oh wow, this band have been like really, really cool and doing really cool things. And then suddenly like everyone's on my timeline is talking about it. So how was that at 2023 for you guys?
It was a lot. It was like, we've like, me and Joey have been in bands together since we're like teenagers. And I can probably, I don't think we'd ever sold over 100 tickets to a gig, probably never. Sure. And then like all of a sudden, like the 2023 starts, we go on tour with Wasp at like pretty short notice, then Wednesday 13, and then we had the Stone Dead experience in the summer and stuff. And it's like, and then we do our own headline shows and like we sell out every day, and it's like, shit, it's working. So yeah, it's weird, to be honest, but like, I'm not complaining. I'm enjoying it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Anything to add, Joey?
Yeah. I just think like, between the band, it's just exciting. Same with the album release, really. It's kind of, it's nerve wracking because you know how many people are going to be there. It's exciting. It's weird. It does feel odd. You know, people kind of discovering you and people telling you like, oh, you know, I've been fans since like day one. You're just like, wow, that's crazy. And then other people coming up saying they've just discovered you. And then they're kind of going through all the back catalogue of that album and all of our like live shows on YouTube and things. It's like, it's so cool, like just to see people enjoying it.
Absolutely. And that's the thing as well. I think with like the kind of rise of social media and the rise of like things like Spotify and Apple Music and all the rest of it, music is so accessible, and it has like, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because although, you know, bands get pretty fucked pretty hard by a lot of these big streaming services, things like, you don't get money for kind of music anymore, but it does create a gateway and a portal to being, having everything accessible. And like, you only kind of need, I don't know, man, you could like, some people look at it like you need that one big break, right? And you need that one popular song. And some people, some bands write for that. Or in my opinion, you could just write damn good songs, which I think you guys do. And then you just hope and pray to the gods and everything else that everything else falls into line as it should. I mean, I take it, Cody, you said about Every Time I Die. I think they're one of the most underrated bands ever. Yeah. And they got, you know, a certain level of success. But if in my kind of world, in my head, they should be like fucking headlining everywhere. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So how do you kind of sort of almost manage expectations in that respect? Because you're going out there, you're making fucking brilliant music, you're playing brilliant shows, but sometimes the algorithm, if you like, or things just aren't going in your way. How do you kind of combat that? And if that is something you experience?
I think with stuff like that, and like, I've personally just learned to ignore stuff like that and stop taking it personally and just do our thing, just carry on. Like, as long as the boat is facing forwards and we're going that way, we'll be good. Like, it doesn't matter if it takes 10 years to get on a festival Stone Dead.
Just
keep doing it, and it will happen. Like, just steady the course, keep going, And then if there is any like noise and nonsense, you just learn to drown it out.
I mean, yeah. That, I think that's a really like mature, great answer, to be honest, because like that is the thing. There is a lot of people talk a lot of shit online, which, you know, and I say this all the time to bands and things and just to my partner and things, because when you're putting something out into the world, like you guys are, like I am with the podcast, like anything creative and it's from a good place and then people want to shit on that, it's like, it could be really easy for me to log into X or Twitter or Instagram and just spout a load of shit, because people do.
It's because they're miserable. It's because they're miserable. That's the only reason that they're doing it. And once you realize that, you can laugh at them, which is good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? You can definitely laugh in their faces when you've done, a sold out UK tour as headliners. That's, you know, that must be fucking cool, man, because like, I guess it's kind of a band's dream to put the poster out, put the tickets on sale, and then come back in however many weeks time, just like sold out on every single date. That must be a nice feeling.
It was really exciting.
Yeah, like being so far away from home, we were like 600 miles away from home at one point, and people singing along every word. They knew the words better than I did. And you're just like, this is just crazy, like how it spread. And it's amazing. And it feels, it is exciting. It feels good.
Absolutely. It's something that I wanted to ask as well. It's kind of, how do you personally measure success? And so when the album drops, in terms of you guys personally, what would you kind of be not happy with, but you know what I mean? Because some people look at like, how many followers you have and all these kind of other metrics, how much money you're making and all this kind of stuff. Where does personal success lie with you guys individually?
I think
it's not for me. I don't know.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, for me, like, it's just a never-ending cycle. I'm happy with everything that we've done, but it gradually just grows, and you just kind of look forward to the next milestone. And it's, for me, it's just kind of a fun thing. Like, I'm kind of like, oh, you know, like, we've got this many listeners on this thing. And I mean, I'm not great with technology and stuff. Like, I kind of log into Spotify and look at it every so often, and it's kind of like, oh, that's cool. It's gone up a bit and stuff, and then you just kind of hit the next milestone, and you look forward to that. So for me, I've like, I don't know, there isn't like this kind of dead set thing that I'm aiming for. It's just nice seeing the journey along. And I mean, it would be nice to play like, you know, some big like festivals, you know, like the Download, or, you know, those big milestones there. That would be great. But I think once you get there, you then start thinking about the next one straight away. Whilst you're doing it, you're kind of like, oh, we could do something bigger than this. And yeah, kind of you just enjoy the journey.
Well, I guess that's the thing. In 2023, as we're coming to the end of it, have you kind of had a chance to step back and kind of look back at this year and gone, shit, we've done some really cool things and we've really achieved, you know?
Not yet, because we've got two more music videos to film. Once all that's done, we're like aiming to get everything sorted and done by Christmas, so we can like have a few weeks off and like actually
reflect
and relax and all that sort of stuff before the album launch in January.
Yeah.
At the biggest headline gig we've ever played, so I'm not thinking about that right now. But yeah, in terms of like milestones and stuff, the problem is like, once you get into the industry and stuff, people say, you know, if you got a top 20 album, then the tours you could get on and the this and the that, and it's like, if you hit these milestones, you will get more of the thing you want, which is to go on sick tours or play Download or something like that. So I do pay attention to it, and we do our best. But like I said, just keep going forward, and hopefully all that shit sorts itself out.
Absolutely. And as we, obviously this is coming out in January and things, you've got a couple of shows booked in for February. So I kind of wanted to ask, obviously, in light of the headliner you're about to do in terms of your biggest show and stuff, how does you guys as a band kind of prepare for that? What's the set list kind of situation? How do you kind of get into that headspace almost of going, right, we're going to go play the biggest show of our career? Like, and not to put that as too much of a finer point on that, but do you know what I mean? Because I've had conversations on this podcast where I've gone, right, okay, like I'll do you guys and then we'll talk to this band. And then I'm like, oh shit. And then like, there's like a, you know, a band like Therapy I had on this podcast this year, who Andy Kens to me is a fucking genius. Right. And I was like, okay, this is the one, you know what I mean? Don't fuck it up.
Yeah. I mean, with something like the headline show, I think we're so focused on being better than the last time. So like with Stone Dead, we made sure we had pyro, we made sure we had everything, because like I don't want anybody to forget that that happened, including myself and everybody else in the band. So we're trying to always like get a little bit, we try and play for the stage we want to play, not where we're at.
Absolutely.
So we're always trying just like outdo ourselves. So with that big gig, I mean, hopefully we are, and now that we're in January, we've sorted out a massive stage show for it, and we'll be we've got a few surprises for everybody there. But in terms of like getting your head in the game for it, again, just treat it like any other gig, and it won't, like, yeah, we've had a lot of practice, luckily.
Absolutely. Sorry, I was just getting my phone because I wanted to get the questions from the Stone Dead group. So okay. Yeah, anything you want to add to that?
I think Cody said it really well. So I say is like, we just kind of dress for the job we want, kind of thing. Like when we play a show, we want to play the next show up. So we play that show on a smaller stage and people seem to notice and it's working well. And I think, yeah, let's just keep working on it. That's what we do. We just try and up our game every time.
Absolutely. So I put into the Stone Dead Festival Facebook group. Hello, everyone. I'm doing how everyone's doing well. One quick question. Interviewing the excellent Self Asylum next week. They went down a storm at Stone Dead. I was wondering if you had any questions for the bands on the podcast. They've got a new album out in January. Spoiler, it's very good indeed. Right. So basically, the majority of the questions were, can you play X City? Right. Which I'm not going to go through every single city they've mentioned, but a couple of questions I did have. So a lady called Lucy said, I love the set of Stone Dead. I'm especially excited to see them there. Their hometown January show. I'd be interested to know if they could play any venue in the world, which would they pick and why? Which I thought was a great question, to be fair.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah, that is good.
Mine's hands down Brixton Academy. It's my favorite venue. To like, I've seen like nearly all my favorite bands in Brixton, so I'd love to play there.
Absolutely. How about you, Joey?
I don't know. I'd like to do something kind of weird and crazy, you know, like on a boat or a plane or something just mental. Mm-hmm. Something like that. I just think that would be kind of cool. Like just a gimmicky kind of gig would be fun to me.
I see. I like the because obviously a lot of bands do the there's like the Kiss cruise, the Flog and Molly cruise. Yeah. There's like, I think it was a Lamb of God cruise this year as well. Like, I really like the idea of a cruise, but if you could make a South of Salem kind of like aeroplane experience, I'm not sure how it's going to work logistically, but I would be there.
I would love that. It would be so good. Everyone vomiting. There's all turbulence and stuff. It'd be cool. I just think it would go horribly wrong, but I think it'd be a fun thing to write home about.
I did think about it for a second. I was like, maybe do it like a commercial airliner, but I was like, no, that doesn't work because you've not got enough space, right? But then I thought, you know, like the kind of army grade kind of ones where you've got like the people like, if you've ever seen like any of the war films, so the ones with the massive, like they keep all the troops on, you know, the kind of ones I mean?
Yeah.
Have one of those, but just like put the band at the back and just make it like a stage. Yeah, that'd be sick.
The South of Salem Chinook, like just do the double bladed helicopter again over.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one of my questions I do like to ask my guests and things is, where is the strangest or the weirdest place you've ever played a gig? It doesn't have to be with South of Salem. It can be with any of your previous bands. But where have you kind of been booked for and you've looked around at your bandmates and gone, who the fuck booked this then?
I played one. I think it might have been in Sheffield, but I'm not 100% sure. Mm. And we got there and we set up and the venue was cool. And like it was like a nice looking venue. It had like a bar in the middle, like a seating area on one side and then the stage on the other. And then this guy came up, he was really, really friendly. He was like, oh, hi, guys, you know, like, welcome, come play this gig. He goes, oh, yeah, thank you, no worries at all. He goes, right, I'm just going to set up all your sound stuff. And he set it all up and everything, and he was a sound man. And then, like, someone, like, in the bar, like, on the other side needed a drink. So he just, like, dropped everything and just went off. And I was like, the sound man's the barman. Like, he's, the sound man is the barman. And then, like, people started coming to the door. We were, like, we finished sound checking finally and everything. And then people was like, and then he was on tickets. So it's, like, one guy was doing, like, the door, the bar, and doing our sound all at the same time. And it was just an absolute mess. I'm going to do too much.
I love
that.
Really
like,
that. You know what? That is the ultimate, like, cost-cutting exercise. Just get one person to do everything.
But yeah, the sound man is the doorman. The sound man and the doorman is also the barman. It's like, what? But, yeah.
How about you, Cody?
I've had a few weird ones, but like, I think, and it's happened a few times. I don't know if it's ever happened with the band with me and Joe in it, but like, the amount of times I've like, a classic, like when you're in a smaller band, you go, here's the stage, and it's the corner of a pub. Mm-hmm. And you set up in the corner of a pub. And like a couple of times I've done that, and people just like out for a meal with their family. And we're playing like punk rock and stuff. And they're trying to eat their dinner, and you're just, yeah, what the fuck is up, Denny's?
Yeah, that. Literally. Yeah,
yeah. It's, you know, yeah, what? Yeah, it's hardcore.
I would much, I mean, this probably says more about me than anything else. I'd much rather have that than someone with an acoustic guitar doing Ed Sheeran covers. Nothing wrong with Ed Sheeran covers, but I would much prefer the other. So
what was that one where we played in, were you there when we played the like that diner? That was really odd. Was that in like, I think it was a diner. Yeah, like a 50s kind of style diner in the middle of somewhere, the beginning of a sea. I can't remember where it was. But that was weird. It was just like, yeah, it was just like a uni, like, canteen or something. It was just really weird.
I love it. I wanted to obviously touch back on the album stuff, Death of the Party, because this is the second record, right? And now, again, correct me if I'm wrong in terms of how I think about this, right? But when you have a debut record, right, you have all the time in the world to sit on those songs and make them perfect and make them like the best you can make, because there's no expectation at that point. It's just like, bang, statement of intent. Here we are. Here's our 12 songs, 10 songs, where it may be, right? Second album, generally speaking, is kind of gone, right, cool. You've done really well on the debut. Now replicate that magic. How did you kind of find that expectation, that kind of going back for a second go at writing a fresh batch of songs and things? How did you find that?
Yeah, I think it's kind of tough, but at the same time, like, me and Joey are kind of lucky because we like write the songs together, and we've written albums before this as in old bands and stuff. So to already have that connection and that energy, like, really helped lessen the pressure of just like, this is your second album. It's like, well, we've been writing together for 10 years, so it wasn't that bad. And then I think I always write riffs all the time, and I just like store them up, and then Joey listens to them, and it either hits the button or it doesn't. And then that's how like a load of the songs get created. And we did wait a little while, but we were just slowly throughout the time, just putting down, this is a good idea, that's a good idea. And then right towards coming up to the album, we kind of had a bit of pressure to get a lot of it done and sorted, and actually some of the best songs came out of that, which is nice to know that we can do that.
Absolutely. Anything to add, Joey?
Yeah, I think with the first album, we were quite lucky in our situation. In the first album, we were kind of discovering our sound, and we had a great producer that was kind of helping us just work out what we wanted to do, and kind of saying, maybe try that. I don't really like that. He had the honesty and like the kind of balls just to be like, actually, I don't like what you're doing there. Let's try this. And which was really nice for us. And then, but with this one, we kind of just had an idea of what we were from just playing live. Because before we recorded the first album, we hadn't played a gig as this band. So yeah, it was kind of like discovering it, whereas we'd gone out and then we started gigging, and then we kind of had a bit more of an idea with this one. So I think we knew kind of where we were heading a bit more, but
yeah,
definitely, as Cody said, we ended up at the end kind of really powering through and creating some of the coolest stuff, like right towards the last few days.
I think that's the thing as well. I think when people are put, not under pressure per se to say, but if you're given like a time limit and gone, you've got to do something, you'll either like kind of thrive or you'll crumble. It's the sink or swim thing, isn't it? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and that is true with art as well, but you need to give it time to breathe and to kind of to try and fully figure itself out. So that's cool that you were given the opportunity to do that. That's awesome. I've got a couple of final questions for you guys, right? And so a question that I've done this for all of 2023, and I was going to sack it off, right? But I'm going to bring it back just maybe once or twice in 24, right? Not going to do it too much. But essentially, it is a dream festival scenario, right? So when this podcast gets bought up by Spotify or Apple or whoever, right? Other brands are available and welcome, right? I'm going to have lots of lovely brand money. And with that brand money, most people would invest it back into their project. I'm saying, fuck that. We're going to spend all the money on a festival, right? South of Salem is invited to the festival, along with all the other bands who've been on the podcast, right? It's going to be a lovely, big, eclectic bill, like 2 weeks long or whatever, right? But what I'd like to know is because we've got loads and loads of money and loads and loads of open space. There's no financial restriction and there's no logistical restriction of what you could have on your rider. Now, I'll give you a couple of examples of the rider, right? So we've had everything from like saunas to like petting zoos to like roller coaster rides to narcotics, which is always fun. We've had literally everything you can probably think of. But what I want to know is, if you had all the money in the world and you could have whatever you wanted, what would you like to have on your rider?
Oh my God. That's tough.
You know what? The thing that really brings like joy to this question is the silence of thinking about it. Because some people are like straight away. Like, if you think about it, like your mind just goes, what would I have?
What about like
this kind of thing than I am?
What about a cash machine that just gives out loads of cash and we just get loads of cash and that's on the rider?
That works.
Is that not like wishing for more wishes? Am I not allowed?
That's absolutely fine. I've done an interview a couple of weeks ago, which will be long out as this podcast comes out. But essentially, they just said to me, "I just want Taylor Swift," and I went, "In what context are we talking about having Taylor?" He's like, "I just want her at the festival, just hanging about and just, you know, being Taylor Swift." I was like, "Righto, fair enough." A cash machine that gives more cash. That works for me. I can do that.
Limitless cash machine, ice cream factory from Pizza Hut. I'd want that.
The little smiles.
I want that. Like a chicken coop, and you can just go and hang out with the chickens. That would be cool.
Nice. We'll have to.
Yeah, you get egg free.
You can't let them near the ice cream factory though.
You can't let them near the black metal bands either. Sorry,
no, that's terrible. Yeah, Wotan cannot play this festival. what about you, Joe?
I don't know. That's a really tough question. I like the chicken coop though. That's fun.
Yeah, some chickens.
Yeah.
Like Buckethead. Buckethead playing backstage within the chicken coop.
Yes, absolutely.
As the entertainment, I'm up for that.
Lovely job. So a question I've brought in for 2024. Is if you could claim any song in the world today and claim it as a South of Salem original, what song would you choose and why?
Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Nice. I mean,
thought you were going to go for a Motorhead one. I thought you were
would, but then I thought about all the residuals that they're getting from all the Marvel movies that that song's in, and I thought I'd have that one. Nice.
Wow, you really thought it through.
How about you, Joey?
I'm so bad at thinking on the spot with this kind of thing.
And I'd really like to watch Joey singing Thunderstruck as well, because you have to do the Brian Johnson thing.
Wow, that's high. Very high for my voice. I'm looking around trying to get some inspiration. I have no idea. Probably something classic, like Sweet Child of Mine or something. Paradise City.
Nice, absolutely nice. Love that.
That'd be cool.
So I have, this is completely off the cuff, right? But based on our conversation we've had today, right? I would like, so in 2024, towards the end of 2024, I'll give you guys the rest of the year to get there, right? But we want Brixton Academy, where you guys are going to headline, because we talked about that. We also want a cover of Paradise City and a cover of Thunderstruck towards the middle or end of the set. And before that, there will be unlimited cash, Pizza Hut ice cream, and a chicken coop.
With Buckethead,
exactly. Yeah. Gents, this has been super, super fun, and it's the first one for 2024, so I'm so thankful to have you guys on. I would like to know, it's a question I've asked every single artist in the last 3 and a bit years of starting this podcast, that is, what is the best thing about being in a band for you both personally?
I think just getting to connect with people, that is like the coolest thing. Like when someone comes up and tells you that a song has kind of brought them joy, or like, you know, brought them, I don't know, like put them together to go, you know, we had a couple that like comes to our gigs and stuff, and they said like it's just kind of reinvigorated their love for music, you know, and going to live shows again. And some people like say that songs have saved them. Like that is just, it's just the coolest feeling, like when you get to connect with someone on that level. I don't think you find that anywhere else.
Absolutely. How about you, Cody?
for me, like the coolest thing about being in a band is just being in a band. Like,
nice.
Getting to just like hang out with my mates in a van and just make stupid jokes the entire time really cheers me up. Like, and the fact that we no longer have to pay for the luxury of doing that really cheers me up as well, because like the band's now big enough that it pays for itself, which is like part of the dream, really. Like, just getting to hang out with my mates and have fun, and like people enjoy it. And obviously, the few seconds before we walk on stage, if I could bottle that out, I'd be a millionaire.
Absolutely love that. What is ahead for 2024? Obviously, there's a lot, it's a PR question nightmare because no one can tell you what they're doing the next year and things. But what you can talk about in 2024, what's ahead?
Well, this is coming out in January, right?
Yeah, January. Cool. Yeah.
So 2024, we have a few tours booked, but the very first ones, you can catch us a few headliners in February. And then in April, we'll be on tour with Chris Barris as main support. Some Amazing. Really cool venues as well. So come down, get your tickets now. Do not miss. It will be amazing. And then we have summer festivals already booked. You can catch us at Nozfest. Joey, help.
I'm so bad at it. You've got much better memory than me. I don't know what we're allowed to announce in January.
I will tell you if it's not announced.
There's bigger festivals that we've been.
We'll be at Bloodstock. You can come and watch us at Bloodstock. That's definitely going to be announced by January. If it's not, I'll let you know. But we'll be at Bloodstock on the Thursday night as well. So like, there's one stage open. Everybody be camping on the Thursday night. You can come down and check out the South of Salem show. If you're there, and you can prize yourself away from getting drunk with your friends at your tent, come and get drunk with us in the big tent.
And then we've got another tour later in the year.
Can't talk about that one, but we can talk about the Chris Barris one. So come to that.
Amazing stuff. I was going to say, all stuff at South of Salem on Facebook, Instagram, search into Google. You all know how to use the internet at this point. But thank you so much, gents. It's been a fucking pleasure to get 2024 off to a killer start. And good luck with the album release. I've been spinning it nonstop since I sent it last week. So yeah, it's a fucking killer. Absolutely lovely stuff. Right, I'm going to go make a coffee. See you later, everybody. Peace and love.
Enjoy. Thanks very much, Matt.
See you soon.